This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Well, that is our big story today, everybody. Kevin Durant traded to the Suns. Durant and T.J. Warren traded from the Nets to the Suns for a package that includes Mikal Bridges, who plays every game. Mikal Bridges plays every game. He's a really good player. Cam Johnson, another good player. Jay Crowder, who they just traded to Milwaukee for 5 second-round picks. And they also got 4 unprotected future first-round picks this year, 25, 27, 29. And when you wonder why are they staggered like that, in the NBA you're not allowed to trade picks, first-round picks, on successive years. Because the way teams are, they'll just completely bankrupt their team. And also a 2028 pick swap. That's according to Woj. Durant's going to be the first former MVP, played for the Suns since Steve Nash, ironically enough. And the Suns going for it. That's what they're doing. They were just purchased, I think, a 68% a portion of the team by Matt Ishbia, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, who actually was a backup player on the Michigan State National Championship team. And then he went to his father's mortgage company. Because a lot of people thought that he could be a coach because he had that sort of mind. He was kind of like Tom Izzo's right-hand man as a player. But then his father said, just come to the company. The company had 8 people employed by it when Matt went there. And Matt made it an absolute behemoth. And they just sold part of the company a couple of years ago for $4 billion.
Nice.
So for now, there's like 1,000 people that are employed, and he does live in Michigan, but he is supposedly a really bright young guy, 43 years old, and he bought this team from Robert Sarver, and he probably gave the GM the go for it. Let's go for it. I want to win a championship right away. So you like to see that, a young, innovative mind, and he's rolling the dice. I mean, the only question you have with Kevin Durant is his availability. 2 years in a row, he's injured his knee. Now, he missed that whole season because of the Achilles. He's tall, he's thin, he's lanky, but he's great. And now you combine him with Devin Booker and Chris Paul, who's kind of on the downside at 37. They got a chance. They got a chance, but they did not get him for nothing. Now, I don't think you ever get equal value for Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant's an all-time great. But under the constraints of time and also situation with Kyrie doing what he did, guys, I don't think that Sean Marks did a bad job on this.
No. Well, what are you going to do? You're not going to be able to make it work with him. You're not going to get true value, but you got plenty to kind of start the rebuild. And it stinks. It stinks for Net fans, but I do believe, and I mentioned this earlier, because you're kind of that low profile, meaning that you're not going to have a ton of attention on you, you can kind of just slowly start to build what you were doing before you went for at least the big two and then the big three a few years ago. I think he will get this team to respectability. Will they win a championship? I mean, they're going to need those special players, just like what the Knicks are. But can they be a consistent playoff team? Yes, they can.
Here's Tim Legler on Get Up, and he said the Nets are going to go down as the biggest failure in sports. Here's our buddy Tim.
When they put these three guys together, that should have been guaranteed titles. I think it was the greatest collection of offensive talent ever assembled at the top of one roster when all three guys were there. And the reason that I felt that way about the Nets last week was because I think this was the best stretch Kyrie Irving had as a Net. He looked bought in. He looked engaged. The Nets had run off at one point 18 out of 20 when Durant was still playing. So you're thinking, well, get him back, and they're going to be right there in the mix with those top three in the East. The one thing, though, that they overestimated – was guys' willingness to buy in for the long haul and be committed to be in the foxhole together, no matter what.
Let's hear our buddy Stephen A. on KJM, and he was asked, are the Nets a failure?
Yes, but it's not because they didn't win a championship. It's because they really didn't compete. The fact of the matter is they were there for 3.5 years, and they only have one playoff series to show for it, and Kevin Durant and Kyrie didn't even play 75 games together. That's why. if you came short, if you came and you competed against one of you with each other and you were there and you were solid together and what have you, and it just didn't work out because Boston or Milwaukee or somebody was superior, that would be different. But to not even play half of your games together or a quarter of your games together, it's egregious. They had the keys to the throne, and they blew it.
Now here's Woj, and he was asked where the KD trade leaves the Nets.
Certainly it's not a team that is a contender anymore. You know, they wanted to still be a contender around Kevin Durant, but that's over. And so now this is a team that has a lot of good players. Mikal Bridges, you know, one of the best young two-way players in the league. And that was a player the Nets have coveted for some time. Jay Crowder is in this deal. You could expect certainly that Nets may have some conversations with some teams tomorrow. You know, there's great interest in Jay Crowder around the league. The Bucks have been trying to get him for months. Certainly some conversations there, but the Nets still have some time here, the trade deadline, to keep reshaping this. But I think once the Kyrie Irving trade happened, and this was a team Kevin Durant, I think, was ready to move on from, his eyes had been on Phoenix since his trade request last summer.
I'll tell you what, the one thing I have a problem with, I don't know why you traded him now. I don't think that this is a deal that, like, just, although I think they got a good return, this is one of the great players of all time. Why not make a run with him? Why not make a run with him? Now, I know it's just one star, but they've got pretty decent players around him. They don't have Kyrie Irving, but they have pretty decent players around him. And maybe, don't you owe it to your fans to try to win a first round series? To make it exciting? And then you trade him during the offseason. Instead, they trade him now, and they pretty much cashed in their chips. And I think they're starting from right where they were before they got these two guys. Exactly where they are. They're a 500 team now. They were 42-40 before Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Even going further back, they're a team that was bereft of assets, although they have assets now. They didn't have any trade. They didn't have any draft capital, which is because of the Harden deal, but he got back draft capital. He has 4 first-round draft picks, which over the winter, over the summer, he could obviously deal for a star. But is every star guy going to be afraid of going to Brooklyn now because of what? Because no matter what happened, and Brooklyn could be the total innocent in this, they'll listen to Kyrie and Durant before they make a judgment on their own. That's just the way sports happens to be. They'll listen to the players who are obviously going to badmouth Joe Tsai, and they're going to badmouth Sean Marks, even if they did nothing wrong. You know what they did wrong? They gave these guys the keys to the castle, and they let them be the bosses.
So unless you bend over backwards and do everything a player wants, they're going to badmouth you. So you know,
but they did.
Then badmouth me, because then you're always going to get badmouthed, right? You're either going to play that game or you're not. You're either going to be in the business of trying to make every player happy, or you're just going to have to live with certain players bad-mouthing you because you didn't do that. You got to do what's right for your organization. And as far as KD is concerned, Michael, you said it yourself. You know, he's had injuries. The way he's built, I mean, do the Nets want to take a chance in trying to make a run this year? He gets hurt, and then you devalue him in the offseason when you're trying to deal him if he suffers yet another injury? And really, how far were they going to go? I think the Net fans get it. I bet you a lot of Net fans are just happier. Let's just move on. They weren't going to win a championship. They're not Boston, even with KD. They're not Boston. They're not Milwaukee. Yeah, they might have won a playoff round, but what if he got hurt? What if in that playoff round he tears his Achilles again or his back goes bad, and now you're trying to sell off damaged goods in the offseason for a guy that you'll have no leverage because he doesn't want to play for you anyway? No, this was the time to do it.
You bring up a good point. I mean, there is always the possibility. Then you've got a sunk asset for the next 3 years.
Yeah,
I guess that makes sense. Let's go to the phones. We've done the talking. Now it's time for you. Let's go to Big Coop in the car. What's up, Big Coop?
Hey, good afternoon. Good evening, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. You?
I'm doing good, man. It's just that, you know, I'm a Brooklyn fan. and I was very disappointed hearing KD left. No, because he could have shaped and molded that team to his perfection, even with Claxton, even with Luke Thomas. You know, he could have did it. Them guys is playing good ball now. It's like they built them up. Him and Kyrie built them guys up, the young team around them, the bench, and broke them back down. It's like, I mean, it was like it's all started to like a bad dream, you know, for these young guys and for the fans of Brooklyn. It's like a bad dream because we thought we had a championship coming with these two guys. And just like Don said, you know, KD is no LeBron. He can't make decisions like LeBron. He don't know how to go in the locker room and talk to his team. Look, this is about championship. We here to get a championship. Already, you see, look, LeBron has already cleaned out Westbrook, so you can trust and believe that Kyrie will be down there next year. So, you know, those type of things that's going on now, we have to build from where we started. It's just like the Giants, same thing. It's like we have to rebuild. A champion team stays together for a long time, and then they win championships. You can't keep breaking up a team and expect the team to be great.
You know what? Durant had an opportunity to make this his own. After Kyrie left and was traded, he had a chance, as Big Coop said, to shape the team the way he wants. Work with Sean Marks, exactly what they wanted to do. But one thing that I would caution against, don't think it's a slam dunk that Kyrie's going to end up with the Lakers next year. They don't have a lot of salary cap space. And if he goes, is he going to play for a mid-level exception? And even if it's not for that, what's he going to play for, $10 million a year? This guy's about money. He wanted the guaranteed 4 years, $195 million. The Nets offered him 2 years, $80 million. He turned that down. You think he's going to play for less than that? The place he's going to go to the place stupid enough to give him the most guaranteed money. I think the Lakers would do it, but the Lakers don't have the cap space. They don't have the cap space. So I don't think that that's a fait accompli that he's going to end up with LeBron. And really, is that a smart move by him? He'll go with a 39, about to be 40-year-old LeBron next year? Does he think because he's 31, 32, that then he becomes the alpha male? You'll never be the alpha male as long as you're with LeBron. Isn't that the reason you left him in the first place?
But why does he even want that? He's shown that's not truly who he is.
But he thinks he is that. You know what I mean? I agree with you, essentially, but I think he thinks that, you know, Kevin Durant turned him into that, right? Right, Peter? If you can lead a great player like Durant, he thinks he can lead anybody.
What did he lead him to?
Nothing.
Yesterday, I was so annoyed when I heard him say, I was just happy that KD got out of there, as if they were being tortured in Brooklyn. Like, it's you have it backwards. The fans should be happy that you guys are out of there.
Now, how much do you think the Nets lose a fan base? Because I think there is a real fan base that will stay, but I think there are a lot of people that jumped over because of KD and Kyrie that might not have been Knicks fans. Are those people going away now?
I think there was a certain attention and cachet with those guys, but the fundamental fan base, I think, stays the same. There's going to be less interest because there's not going to be a buzz, but I don't know. Are they going to lose season ticket holders? No. I mean, I think their fan base is what it is. It just you won't have those fans parachuting in like you did over the last couple of years. But were they selling out every game even when they were together? You're not going to have ESPN covering them 24/7, but there'd be less – it's hard to explain. There'd be less interest around the team. But as far as, like, net fans are concerned, I think they'll be all right.
All right, let's go to Kevin in Brooklyn. I haven't heard from him in a while. What's up, Kev?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all guys doing, man?
Good. You?
I'm doing all right. I just haven't called in a while, but like I always say, I watch and I listen.
Thank you.
Before
I get to my point, I just want to let everybody know, man, how good you guys are, man. You guys showed me that you guys are true to your fans. I went to the 20th anniversary show, and I want to say I won the first tickets. Nice. That was a good thing. You guys actually, at every stop of the show, at every break, I want everybody that wasn't there to listen to me. These guys, if not one, two, or three of them, will go down, sign autographs, take pictures, conversate with the fans. And I thought that was really nice, man. You guys showed me that you really are true to your fans. And I was like, my son said, go up there and let them know this is coming from Brooklyn. I said, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not the type of person to do that. But I just want to say, man, I appreciate you guys. You guys are really true to your fans, man. I thought that was really nice, even though it was the same fans going up there. But you guys still went there and gave some time, and I thought that was nice.
Kev, and I'll let you make your point, but we don't say it just to say it, but people that take the time to listen to us when they have so many other things that they could be listening to, they really are family. They're not just fans. We feel like they're an extended part of our family. So when, you know, if you come to see us tomorrow in Farmingdale, that's the way we'll be as well. And we want to press the flesh and thank everybody for spending some time with us. So thank you for those words, Kevin.
Yeah, you ain't lying. Y'all guys are true to your fans. I want to say that I think that the owners got to start being like – the owners of the NBA have to start being like owners of the NFL, man. All of this – you sign a four-year contract for all that money, and you guys always come up and say, I want to trade when they feel like things is not going right with the team. You can't pull that in the NFL. The NBA is, I mean, I don't know. I can't watch it because it's like every year somebody's unhappy. You sign a contract in the summertime for 5 years for $250 million, and then you come to the owner and say, oh, no, I want to trade. I want out of here because I don't like the way the direction of the team is going. You can't do that. And I mean, I don't understand how these owners in the NBA give the keys to these Bentleys, and these guys just tore it up in Brooklyn. It's crazy.
Well, but if the Knicks would have done that, here's a perfect example of that, Kevin. They signed Kevin Durant to a four-year, $195 million contract. All right? Stop. He has to be traded before he played 1 second of that contract.
Right.
The gall that these guys have. Well, but I just think that in the NBA, you have a longer playing career. You could play these games where I'm going to sit out a half season if I don't get what I want. In the NFL, the average career is 3.5 years. You can't play that hardball game. As Don said earlier, only quarterbacks can. Only quarterbacks.
That's it.
Anybody else can't play it. They can't.
They're the ones that move the needle. Right? The quarterback moves the needle. Nobody else does. I mean, I could take the best defensive end in football and plop them on the worst team. Are they going to all of a sudden compete for a championship? No. The same thing. I can have Ohtani and Trout on the same team in baseball, and they're still 11 games under 500. But if I take the best two players in the NBA and put them together, I'm a lock playoff team, and I'm probably winning a couple of rounds in the playoffs. They have power, Michael, because one or two players can completely move the needle.
And also, Don, the NBA markets stars. So the bigger a star becomes, the more he swings it around. In the NFL, they market teams. They have helmets on. You hardly even see their faces. And when you take your helmet off, you get a penalty. But the NBA, starting with Magic and Bird, always they featured stars. They made stars. So the bigger star is, the more they're going to say, I only want red M&Ms in my dressing room. That's the way life is. You give somebody a bigger standing, they're gonna demand more things. So you can't put the genie back in the bottle. You just can't.
Let's go. It creates the diva.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Aaron in Somerset.
Hey guys, love the show. I got a quick Nick point, Michael. You mentioned before how we shouldn't be gloating or taking our victory lap. I wholeheartedly disagree. First and foremost, you had KD and Kyrie who essentially scoffed at the opportunity of playing for the Knicks. You had KD on the radio saying, I believe it might have been on the morning show. I don't know if that was on Hot 97, Peter.
It was, yeah, it was on Hot.
Said, yep. It was and when KD said it wasn't cool to play for the Knicks, it's the cool thing is Brooklyn now. Now that's small things, but you know, if this has happened to any other organization, especially the Knicks, the way that this breakdown has happened, we'd be calling for people's jobs. No one would have survived this. And I know, Michael, you're specifically talking about in a general sense of pulling the trigger for a team that had compiled assets. But that mortgage sale from the Nets resulted in something that they're probably not going to recover from for the next 5 years.
But Aaron, I can see what you're saying. If you want to like be derisive toward Durant and Irving, who scoffed the Knicks and kind of made light of it. But
that's just the Knicks fan in me, though. That's,
right, but the Nets did what the Knicks would have done, and I don't think the Knicks have that much they could hang on the rim about.
Fair, and that's fair. But you know, coming from a Knicks perspective, this is in terms of stockpiling the assets that they've had, this is the best situation they've been in God knows how long. Obviously, we missed out on the Donovan Mitchell trade, which from my opinion, I think that they were trying to fleece us, but. These assets aren't going anywhere. Like they're not. It's not a carton of milk. They don't just expire. These are guys that we're building up. These are assets that we're gonna have multiple first round picks in the next 5 years. There's no shortage in the NBA of teams that are unsatisfied and stars that are disgruntled. These opportunities will come in the summer and in the following trade deadline. In my personal opinion, I would rather hang on to Obi Toppin Emmanuel Quickley and Quentin Grimes for the time being until something better appears for the Knicks.
Well, you know, the big rumor today, Aaron, as I'm sure you knew, was, you know, maybe going for Zach LaVine of the Bulls. And from what I'm reading, you know, William Wesley, who is an assistant to Leon Rose, is in love with Obi Toppin. So Obi Toppin would have had to go there. And the amount of, supposedly three first-round draft picks were being discussed as well. Again, these are rumors, so the Knicks haven't, like, said that's true or not.
Right.
But if you were giving up Obi Toppin and three first-round draft picks, why wouldn't you have given up four first-round draft picks for Donovan Mitchell, who's a better player than Zach LaVine? He's a better player. Zach LaVine's always hurt, and Donovan Mitchell's a better player. And although we've seen Kyrie and Kevin traded in a span of a week, great players don't shake loose all that often. And the Knicks don't have, the Nets weren't going to trade either of those guys to the Knicks. Donovan Mitchell could have been traded to the Knicks. Again, beating a dead horse, but the bottom line is you missed an opportunity to get a great player. So again, you're a team that's, you say those assets don't go away, right, Don and Peter? But the Knicks are not terrible. So you're going to win 45 games every single year, and those assets don't mean that much. And also, you picked Obi Toppin instead of Halliburton. So, I mean, just because you have the picks doesn't mean that you're going to make good decisions.
Hey, listen, they got a long way to go, all right? The Knicks are trying to make deals just to get into the playoffs. They're not making deals to try to win a championship. They got a long way to go before they can get there. If you're going to grade it just on championships, then there's nothing to gloat about. But if you're a Knicks fan that has spent the last three, 4 years having to hear about the Nets are going to own the town and we're going to win a championship before you, and that they're getting more nationally televised games, they're getting more conversation, you're right now you're sitting there giggling on the way the whole thing blew up. Maybe not gloating, not hanging on the rim, but you're taking a lot of satisfaction on how this blew up in their face. Because there was a lot of chirping going on by a lot of people that this was going to become a Nets town and they're going to become the story. And really, most of the story has been negative. So I can understand a Knicks fan giggling a little bit right now saying, see, good.
We are going to talk to Joe Fortenbaugh.
Sure.
He's in Vegas, so he's going to tell us exactly how this trade impacted the odds for the Nets, I'm sure dramatically, and the odds for the Suns. And obviously, we've got to get his Super Bowl action.
I think we should talk a little Super Bowl.
Oh, you think so?
Maybe get some parlays, you know, some insight from the great Joe Fortenbaugh.
You know what? I did not realize that you're now producing the show, but I will follow.
You want to do it? Ask me.
Believe me, if I was producing the show, things would be different. Go ahead.
Someone should.
So is that a shot at Anthony?
Who else could it be? He's the producer.
No, actually, it wasn't a shot at Anthony.
Well,
Anthony,
that's
Anthony
what
knows.
It comes off as.
Well, it's not that. Anthony,
so why don't
and
you
Anthony
apologize?
Knows. I'm sorry, Anthony. I didn't mean you.
That's
all. You were taking a shot. Is it too much to ask who the target was?
I'll just say this.
At Hospodar.
I'm often, as has been talked about on this show before, I'm often
late, Marty Lyons.
Often late for meetings. I'm useless in meetings. For the when I talk in meetings, what I say gets thrown in the garbage. I'll just say that straight to the
out.
And I don't mean by you guys necessarily. At
I
least not
like everything you say.
There's a face to this whole thing, Michael, and he won't reveal it.
Oh, there are faces. There are faces.
Oh, faces.
The face faces in the crowd is what you say.
Faces and suits. Yeah. Faces and suits, Don.
Wow.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now we call on Joe Fortenbaugh. He's quickly become a favorite of ours. He's in Vegas. And the first thing I want to ask you, Joe, how did this affect the Nets' championship odds, and how did it affect the Suns' odds?
Well, from the Nets' perspective, gentlemen, I think you'd have to imagine that they took a bit of a slide because they lost a couple of stars who, despite the fact that they hadn't been playing, still bring that name value to the odds board. So you see Brooklyn take a slide a little bit. As I'm looking right now, 100-1, they're on par with Atlanta and Sacramento
as
of about 45 minutes ago. So that's where you see Brooklyn. Now, Phoenix has shockingly, surged up the board. 9-2, which would mean about 4.5-1. $100 bet returns $450 in profit if you were to hit it. To jump on it now, you're not getting ahead of anybody, right? Like, the bookmakers have already adequately priced this. But ask yourself this. If everybody's healthy and they play really well, by the time this thing shakes out in the playoffs, plus 450 is going to be long gone. Like, this could be the favorite, even if they're not the one seed. So I would ask you, if you saw them getting to the final and playing Boston, you'd have to figure lose. Phoenix is the favorite in that spot, right?
No.
You don't think so?
No. Boston's a better team.
I mean, also, better team, Chris, yes. Chris Paul's 37 would the public want to bet?
Oh, I don't know what... Boston has a lot of fans, Joe.
Without question. Without question. It's not about whether or not they're a good team. We know they're good. We know they're well coached. We know they got a lot of fans. The idea that Durant, think about not what they look like now, but if Phoenix were to be in the finals, what that would look like then. Because at that point, having to get through the West is going to be a big accomplishment. Those teams are going to eat each other alive, which is why finding the best team in the East right now might be your best value. Because it's top heavy. What do we have? Boston, they're legit. I think Milwaukee got better bringing in Jay Crowder. Philadelphia always bows out in the second round, so we know that's probably coming again. And outside of that, is anyone going to make a run? Is Cleveland ready for primetime?
Right. But those top three at the top, to me, are maybe better than everyone in the West.
All right, that's interesting then. So you see all three is better. See, that what I'm trying to figure out is if Phoenix can reach its potential under what they're going to put together on the court, how good does that look?
No, if they hit potential, you're right. I mean, I'm a Celtics fan, so sure. And I know people bet the Celtics heavy, but I agree with you. If they get a full Kevin Durant and they go on a run, especially looking good throughout the first three series to the finals, I think you're right. I think it'll be very split, or maybe they will be the favorite.
I mean, it is kind of crazy that Denver, who's the number one seed, is sitting out there at 8-1 right now. The Lakers are out there at 35-1. If you, for any reason whatsoever, think the Lakers might put it together after all those moves, and they just brought in Mo Bamba as well a little over an hour ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
35-1 is probably worth a sprinkle. Now, they're the 13 seed, and every single playoff series would be tough. And you got to hope Anthony Davis is bought in, because it certainly didn't look like that the other night when LeBron was breaking the scoring record. So there could be trouble in Paris. Ice, but they've retooled that team where if you think they go on a run, 35-1, throw a little beer money on it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
And Joe, I'm going to be that guy, if you don't mind, and I'm going to completely throw a curveball at you. And if you want to hate me, that's cool.
It's easy, too.
Because you may not be prepared for this, but I'm going to throw it out anyway.
Do your thing.
Has the Rangers Stanley Cup odds changed after the Tarasenko deal?
The Rangers Stanley Cup odds, not prepared for that. Believe it or not, I did come on with a hockey bet. I was going to give you guys the Islanders on the puck line tonight against the Canucks. Hate the spot for the Canucks. Third game in four nights. Second half of a back-to-back. They're already one of the worst defenses in the entire NHL. We know the Islanders struggled to score, but they should put it up tonight, and they do have elite goaltending. Defense has been great. So that's me trying to buy time as I bring up the odds here to tell you what's going on with the Rangers. I haven't seen any adjustments after the Tarasenko trade, which is now trending on Twitter. I wonder how many books have updated that quickly enough. Rangers currently 12-1. So they're sitting there right behind Tampa at 10-1. Right, what they were before, I don't know. I apologize.
Nice.
Now, but nice, that's a good curveball.
I'll give you an answer. I'll give you a question where you'll like me now more than Don. Most people don't. So who's winning the Super Bowl? I want to know.
All right, so you know you're talking to an Eagles fan, so I want to make sure that's
advance. Put that away. Come on, be a pro.
But you're more of a fan of money and winning, right?
Absolutely. People, that's the thing. When I pick Philly, a lot of times people are like, oh, you're such a homer. I bet against the teams I root for more than I bet on them. Like, I know the spots where they're going to be flat or there's going to be a problem. It feels like that's when there's a better opportunity, at least from the way I watch it. I don't have a big position on this. I am playing the Chiefs, though, plus the points. And I think they win the game outright. Philadelphia this year, you know, this defense – all the metrics, number one against the pass, number one in pressures. They're so incredible. They've been good. They played four games against teams that ranked in the top 10 in scoring. Four. One was against Detroit. They gave up 35. One was against Dallas in December. They gave up 40 when Prescott was healthy. The other two were early in the year at home, Minnesota and Jacksonville. They held them in check. You know, you give Andy Reid 2 weeks to get ready. You give Patrick Mahomes 2 weeks to get ready. These guys are going to have a game plan. They're going to have a real good game plan. I think they're going to do a lot of dinking and dunking. I think they know they're not going to have 8 seconds in the pocket to throw the ball down the field, and they're going to be able to eat up Philadelphia. And I wonder, how do Hurts and the Eagles play if they're not playing with a lead? They've been playing with a lead all damn season. Number one in first half scoring. In the second half, they can take their foot off the gas. But when games get tight, like that Washington game, like that Indianapolis game, they look a little shaky out there. That Chicago game as well, where Hurts got banged up. So with the way his shoulders looked post-injury, I do find myself leaning to the Chiefs here.
Wow. All right, give us some parlay bets, something exciting. Don't give me the flip of the coin.
I'm just going to start running through these. Kenneth Gainwell, over 1.5 receptions, over 11.5 receiving yards. The Chiefs are awful defending opposing running backs coming out of the backfield. Noah Gray's a backup tight end for the Chiefs. Go over 11.5 receiving yards. He's had at least one target in all 19 games this season. He's had at least one catch in 18 games this season. We don't need a lot to get over 11.5 there. Now, if you're looking at first touchdown scores, I would look at a guy like Jody Fortson, the wide receiver from Kansas City, at 60-1 to score the first TD. I'd also look at Kenneth Gainwell to score the first TD at 18-1. I play some moonshots here. Fortson hasn't done a lot this season. All right, he hasn't. But when you look at that wide receiving unit for Kansas City, they're banged up. No Mecole Hardman. Juju's banged up. Kadarius Toney's banged up. If Fortson's on the field as the Chiefs are driving for the first touchdown, 60-1 is going to be as live as it comes. So I'm taking a shot on that one. Miles Sanders to be the leading rusher of everyone in the game is plus 175. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to play for Kansas City. So it's going to be Pacheco, Edwards-Helaire, and Jerick McKinnon. Those guys are going to eat into each other's touches. Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell are used by Philly, but somewhat more in the passing game than the rushing game. So I think you can take an opportunity there that Sanders at plus 175, his top competition is going to be Hurts. I would play Hurts to score an anytime touchdown in this game. It's minus 105. He scored 15 TDs in 17 games. He's found the end zone in 7 of 9, and the Chiefs do not defend opposing quarterbacks who run very well this season. So that's the tip of the iceberg there. One last one for all the kicker fans out there. Jake Elliott under 7.5 total points. Two field goals, two extra points, and we're dead here. But the Eagles love to go for it on fourth down. Elliott's opportunities may be suppressed.
Wow.
Any non-sports kind of parlays, length of anthem, Rihanna's
any Rihanna bets
song
out there?
So I would love to give you something on Rihanna or halftime, but I'm going to be completely honest. I make so many wagers on this game, and I'm so invested from a live betting standpoint that halftime for me is a chance to bring the heart rate down from 170. Like I'm sweating. I don't talk to anybody. I don't watch much of halftime, and it's not a knock on Rihanna or any of the acts. It's really just me trying to get my life in order so I can get ready to continue gambling in the second half, degenerate fashion at its finest. For the anthem, the rehearsal is going to take place either tomorrow or Saturday. Once it does, that number is going to leak because there's someone in the building that always leaks it. And if you can beat your bookie to the number, you should be able to beat it. The biggest bet I ever made in my life was the anthem when Pink sang in the Eagles Super Bowl when they beat the Patriots 5 years ago. We got the tip on that from someone that was in the building in advance. I spent half the day trying to get down. This was back when the bookmakers didn't necessarily realize that someone was in the building taping the anthems and that or taping the rehearsals. So you could get ahead of it back then. Now they're aware. So it's a race to get that action down when it takes place. But rest assured,
how much did you bet on the Pink one?
If that number gets out there, I'm going to be in some trouble. So we're going to just go ahead and we're going to say it was a very handsome wager, Michael K. A very handsome wager.
All right. So how much will you bet overall on the Super Bowl with all the props?
A lot of personal questions.
200 grand.
I was going to say very personal questions.
Well, that's what we do here.
I win. So from the side and the total perspective, I'm on the Chiefs. I'm on the over, not for a lot. Like whatever my average bet is, it's going to be below. It's going to be fractional, half unit wagers because I don't think I have a great position on either of those. I would say this: if you like the Chiefs, if you want an angle here, play Mahomes to win the MVP rather than the point spread or the money line. The money line's plus 105. You bet $100, you get 105 in return. Mahomes for MVP is plus 130. $100 pays you plus 130 on that. What are the odds the Chiefs win this but Mahomes doesn't win MVP? It's very unlikely that they win this game and he's not the guy. Now, on the other side, I could see someone else winning the MVP. Miles Sanders, 22-1. Hassan Reddick, 35-1. Devontae Smith is a popular play as well. I could see someone from the Eagles not named Jalen Hurts winning it. But for the Chiefs, I'd see it's Mahomes. So I think you play your value there. The props, depending on what my edge is, I'll get down a little bit more. You might see 2-3 units there. I don't have anything I absolutely love, but I do have a lot of action spread out over the course of the day. I mean, we're probably talking 50, 55 wagers so far.
You know what? What's great about Joe, why he's so smooth, he never answered my question. No. He didn't give me a number, talked around it.
Well,
brilliant.
How dare
you?
I have another personal question.
Did you not see that the IRS hired like 50,000 additional agents? We're just all throwing around our numbers out here now?
You know what? They'll find out anyway. But here's the
bottom
line.
They're fantastic at their jobs.
Have you, in fact, gotten sick of your in-laws yet? Because I know they're there for a month.
Oof. Well, I'll tell you what. I love him dearly. I'm very fortunate to have him here. Yeah, they're driving me nuts. They're driving me absolutely nuts. A stomach bug hit the house last week. You guys probably know how this works. My wife, she's sick all day. My in-laws, they're sick for 2-3 days. Me, it doesn't matter. Go to work, bring home the money,
do the job,
get the dinner, pick up the kids, take them to practice. No one cares how you feel. So, yeah, I got Mexico on the horizon in about a week, and I can tell you I'm going to be I'll be out of sorts before I even land.
When will you make a baseball bet for like the World Series?
Well, we just started getting the regular season win totals came out last week or this past week. We just started to get some numbers on some of the teams. Like the Phillies were around 86.5 wins. First one that jumped out to me. I didn't make a play on it because you still have to deal with some of the free agency. We're still waiting to see where some of these guys are going to land. And then obviously you get the spring training and guys are getting shut down left and right. But we'll start getting some plays out there soon as some of these rosters take shape and the pitchers and catchers report. But all that stuff's starting to come out, which is fantastic.
All right, Joe, good luck on all your bets. I'm guessing it's about $30,000 in bets, but that's just a guess.
Just a guess. Yeah, it's just a guess. Good guess. You can go ahead and ruminate on that for as long as you like, and maybe somewhere down the line, we'll get some answers.
Yeah, there you go. Hope you win. Hope you do well. Bye.
Best of luck.
Yeah, thank you. Joe Fortenbaugh, ESPN Sports Betting Analyst. Boy, is he good. Never answer my question. Very good.
He is a talented man.
1-800-919-3776. Get to the phone calls. Obviously, the Nets story is still very, very big. You can't really make everybody happy. I'm reading on Twitter, why aren't you guys devoting more time to the Ranger trade? We gave 9 minutes to the Ranger trade, which I guarantee is more than any sports talk show in this entire city.
And
it
was done.
Then go to Don's podcast.
Well, and it was done by the great Don LaGreca. So, right. I mean, it's 9 minutes, but in terms of what it did for your brain, it was a lifetime.
Right. You knew all the answers to every question you might ask.
I'm on the air! Go back to mailing.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Now, we will have on Aaron Boone tomorrow to make his football breakdown.
I love it.
Loves the Eagles. Said the Eagles will win. But by the time he comes on tomorrow, he will have a score, and he'll stand by it. So we want all of you to show up tomorrow. I think we're going to have a great time. It is at 317 Main Street in Farmingdale, and it's going to be great. We have live guests in the restaurant. We'll have people on the phone, the whole deal. So it's going to be your regular show. But if you show up, I heard the food there is great. And Peter is going to be dressed up beautifully.
Yeah, I'm deciding what level, where I'm going dress-wise.
Are you going to wear the Matrix coat that you've been sporting lately?
I don't think I'll wear the Matrix coat tomorrow.
Okay.
I do like it. It's comfy. It feels like it blocks the wind.
Looks good on you, too. Wow.
Blocks the sun.
No, it does. I like it. It looks good.
It's more of a tarp.
Wait, Michael, so you're making fun of it, but you do actually like it?
No, I do like it. I'm not making fun of it at all.
I just don't know why, but it's too big for him.
No,
but that's what it's supposed
look.
To be.
I don't know. What do I know?
I don't know either, Don. Listen, I'm not trying to say that I'm cool, and I know. I'm saying Natalie came home with it. I trust her. She thinks it's stylish and cool.
Okay, well, then she would know better than me for sure.
You know what? Don't be hard on yourself, Don. You're a pillar of style yourself.
No, he's not. He's a lot of things. He's not a pillar of style.
Well, why? Why do you say that? I mean, I don't think I'm a pillar of style, but you don't have to be so sarcastic about it.
That wasn't sarcastic. That was biting.
I hope the establishment is warm. We don't want Peter to freeze to death again.
Although that was a good look. Oh, DiPietro is going to be there. All you members of the company. Oof. DiPietro is going to be there, and hopefully he'll settle things with Peter after a terrible thing he texted yesterday. Morty Lyons is going to be there. We're going to know a lot tonight, Don.
Yeah.
Whether or not you have to give somebody season tickets to the Jets. I bet you Sauce Gardner wins the Defensive Rookie of the Year. It's up in the air whether or not Wilson's going to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, that's where there's a question. Sauce is definitely going to win the defensive. Now, I got it all planned. I got a guy that's going to sell me his season tickets. It's all settled. It's all there. Park and pass, lower bowl, the whole thing.
And we'll also know whether Joe Klecko finally gets in.
I think he will.
Is that just a gut for you? Or
yeah, I just, because it's time. I mean, really, how many more embarrassments does this Hall have to suffer? The guy was a Pro Bowl at three different positions on the defensive line. Come on, give me a break. He was great in Smokey and the Bandit. Come on, let's go and get him in the Hall of Fame.
Also like to give some love to Fordham. Came back from a halftime deficit to beat UMass yesterday at a jam-packed Rose Hill, which they're taking to calling Rose Thrill now. And Jack Curry was there. And he told me that the situation's unbelievable. Come join the Ramley. It's just an amazing scene. The students have taken to the team. You can't get in the place. So there you go. Congratulations to Keith Ergo and his team.
We had him on last week.
That's why. That's why they won. Let's go to Corey in Chicago. Corey.
Hey, you guys. Good show. Obviously from Chicago, listening to you guys on occasion.
Thanks.
I'm not a big Zach LaVine fan. Mm-hmm. LaVine, sorry. You guys mentioned three first-round draft picks. I would have taken him to O'Hare. I would have gave him a hug. I would have gave him a kiss. So is that true? Three first-round draft picks?
No, well, I mean, that was a rumor, but it didn't happen, so you don't have to drive anybody to O'Hare. But the Bulls, I guess, stand pat. Because when they're healthy, I mean, if Ball's healthy and LaVine's healthy, they're certainly better than they are. But they've been disappointing because of all the injuries. But I wouldn't have given up that kind of draft capital for Zach LaVine.
I mean,
that's like saying, okay, let's get a star, but this is kind of like a Fugazi star. He's a good player. He's exciting, but he's not an upper echelon superstar.
Well, here's my thing about Zach LaVine. He's a really good and exciting player.
Right.
Definitely a nice piece to have. But why does it feel like every trade deadline, it's a conversation about are they moving on from him? Every
right.
time. I feel like he's always on the block.
Always hurt, always on the block.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.